so the five conferences had the ability to be able to vote these in for you to be able to take to access that. But as an institution, if you decided that you didn't want to provide full cost of attendance, that would be an institutional decision. You're not mandated to do that. That would be an institutional decision. But those five conferences voted that in. Now, schools that are outside of those five conferences have the ability to be able to opt in to that as well, or they don't have to be in or out, right? So, but they could opt out of that just like we could opt out of that as well, too. And that goes into play on August of 2015. So that's legislation that will affect us financially and also practically beginning in August of 2015. Yes, we will opt into that and be able to provide full cost of attendance for our student athletes beginning in August of 2015, and we're looking forward to that.
There's a price range. I might be wrong with the figures, but it's between $2,000 and $4,000 for how did that number get reached, okay. And how is that determined how much?
So each school will have, generally speaking, a different number. Because the way that full cost of attendance is determined is based upon the financial aid officers on each specific campus, not the NCAA, not the conference, but each specific campus. So the University of Missouri, our financial aid folks, through federal guidelines, will determine what is the full cost of attendance in general for a student at the University of Missouri. And you're able to apply that towards student athletes. But the financial aid officers and the federal guidelines at the University of Arkansas would say this is what the full cost of attendance is at the University of Arkansas. And you have to abide by what those are. So there'll be different numbers throughout for the schools around the country. At Mizzou, just in general, just ballpark for us so that we know, it's approximately $3,000 full cost of attendance on top of tuition fees, books, room and board. So if you look at that for us, it's approximately $3,000. It would be perhaps a little bit different somewhere at Purdue or at Arkansas or at Auburn or at Oklahoma State, whatever that may be. And I don't know what all those numbers are for everyone else. I just know what they are for Mizzou.
So does that go for only athletes who are on full ride scholarships, or how do partial scholarships?
Okay. So one of those, David, in here under proposal 2014-13, not to bore you with the numbers, but they throw around a lot of numbers there. It's like the IRS when you go through all these rules. But on the autonomy proposal where it talks about proportionality, and there's a check mark by that. These are just my little notes here on this is my agenda. What that means is that if you have a student athlete that's on a 20% scholarship, 20% athletic scholarship, so there are a number of sports that are equivalency sports, not headcount. So if you had a student athlete that was on a 20% scholarship for baseball, then that person would be eligible for up to 20% of whatever that full cost of attendance is. So if the number's 3,000, then that person would be eligible for $600 towards the full cost of attendance. For a full ride student athlete, which would be headcount, normally headcount, so football or volleyball or gymnastics or men's basketball, women's basketball, sports that are headcount sports, then that number is $3,000. But proportionality, it would just be whatever percentage you're on. And that was voted in and approved. Approximately $1 million. So we've budgeted for our FY16 budget, we've budgeted an additional $1 million for financial aid for our student athletes. And we had anticipated this passing, and so that's already been worked into our budget, at least our plans for next year. We haven't finalized our budget yet for next year, but we've worked that in.
BC was the only dissenting vote on this. Their concern was the road to good intentions being paved with dollar signs. How are they feeling about this, and how's that go forward with them?
I can't speak for Brad Bates, my counterpart, who I actually know very well at Boston College, or why they would have voted against that. But certainly they have the ability to opt in or opt out. Or not opt out. They have the ability just to stay with what we do right now, but they could opt in. But I'd be interested to see how they do that going forward, given the fact that, from my understanding, is the vast majority, if not all, of the five conference schools will be doing the full cost of attendance for next year.
Are they doing that because of the concern maybe with maintaining the Title IX provisions?
I don't know. For Boston College, are you talking about for all of us? No, I think the way we look at that is that this is an opportunity for us to be able to further, you know, benefit our student athletes. And if the rules allow us to be able to do that, we want to be able to do that. And so are there Title IX implications on that when you're doing it? Sure there are, because you want to make sure that you're not taking care of one sport or two sports. You want to take care of all your kids. There certainly are, but that wouldn't be, you know, our driving force. And I think the majority of folks, it wouldn't be their driving force. I would hope that it would be, because it's a great opportunity for you to recognize all of your student-athletes fairly and equitably.
Wouldn't it be fair to assume, I mean, anybody who were to opt out of this, wouldn't you be putting your teams at a pretty big disadvantage in recruiting and trying to get kids on campus?
You know, I would think it would probably be pretty challenging for you to be a school that perhaps didn't take advantage of this opportunity, but, you know, those are going to be institutional decisions that folks make. I would think that would be few. To me, there will be very few schools that would choose to go in that direction, but that's something that we would not do at Mizzou.
Mike, I know that the SEC made a proposal on a way that schools would have to do a certain way of reporting things, monitoring things, so that it couldn't be used as a recruiting tool, basically.
Right.
Where does that stand? How do you feel about that?
What they did on that, Dave, and what Dave is talking about, there was a proposal that the SEC put forward that really allowed you in the equivalency sports to really maintain the same number of student athletes that you're awarding financial aid to. So, for example, in the sport of baseball, there's a maximum number of student athletes that can get partial aid, full aid or partial aid. You got to split up those scholarships, equivalency, amongst a finite number of people. So, which means that when you add, you know, full cost of attendance to that, then you're recognizing a finite number of kids. Every one of those kids is going to benefit from that. But they're the only sport that has that. So what that means is that as you add dollars towards full cost of attendance for an equivalency sport, you can actually, in some sports, spread it out over more kids. And so what the SEC said is, look, if what we're trying to do here is be able to recognize and reward student athletes at a higher level, then that's what our intention should be. We shouldn't try to be spreading that out over more student athletes. And so what happened, anyhow, that's a long answer to tell you, what happened with that proposal is they tabled that. They put that off for a further study, and the council, that's that new organization that's made up of mostly athletic directors, they'll take that under advisement and work on that over the course of the next year. So that was not voted on. That was tabled and referred to the council.
Please correct me if I'm mistaken, but I thought I saw in just the reports from Washington that the SEC was one of the dissenting votes against the four-year scholarship, guaranteed scholarship. So I guess, were you involved with that decision-making, or kind of what went into it?
So the SEC actually was a league that was not supportive of multi-year scholarships. And I'll tell you what, in my opinion, what our thought process was behind that. The student athletes themselves, for the most part, the student athlete advisory committees here at Mizzou and student athlete advisory committees around the country, the student athletes were the people that spoke the strongest against doing multi-year scholarships. And their theory being is that you want to give the opportunity for the coaches and the institution and the teams to be able to recognize are the student athletes doing what they're supposed to be doing regularly? Are they a positive influence on the team? Are they a negative influence? Are they doing the things that are expected of our program? And are we gonna lessen the flexibility of our coaches to be able to implement, you know, doing the right things in our program by doing this? And so the student athletes suggested to us that we don't want multi-year agreements. And that was loud and clear in that room when we met. Now, there was a student athlete from the University of Oklahoma and a student athlete from UCLA that spoke on the other side of that. But the majority of student athletes that spoke in front of all these people said, we don't want you to implement that. And so the SEC was really following what our student athletes had suggested to us. For us at Mizzou, what this rule indicates is you can't withdraw a scholarship from a student athlete based upon athletic performance. And for us, that's our matter of practice. As a matter of practice, we've not done that. There have been times we've reduced aid or pulled scholarships for other reasons. It could be attitude. It could be grades. It could be a lot of things, right? But there's a very vigorous appeal process that we have at Mizzou, and every school has to have an appeal process. So if Todd Palmer is a baseball player at Mizzou, and for whatever reason we decide to reduce your aid here, for whatever reason, you have the ability to appeal that to a committee that's appointed by the chancellor. There has nobody with athletics. So, David, this is a long answer to tell you that the SEC was not supportive of that, not because they don't believe in doing the right things for our kids, but we were listening to what our student-athletes had to say. But, in effect, it passed, and what that means is that when you recruit a student-athlete, that you cannot reduce their scholarship aid based upon athletic performance. But you have other, you know, if there are other issues that come up, you have the opportunity to review those.
Mike, isn't that virtually impossible to enforce? I mean, seems to me that if a coach or a program needs a scholarship, they can probably find some reason that it got pulled if the kid's not playing.
Well, I'm sure that you're going to find people that will look at this and find either direct ways or creative methods to try to achieve whatever means that they may have. Your hope is they're doing their decision making with a pure heart and looking at things appropriately and doing it in the appropriate fashion. But I think time will tell on this. This is all new for us, and I think time will tell.
Do you think the full cost of attendance will have any impact on maybe cleaning up athletics in any way as far as some of the NCAA cases that deal with impermissible benefits?
I think some of it will. I think what it does is it's a step forward in that direction, I think. But I tell you what, as far as those outside influencers that are out there, and we all know that they're out there in our industry, I think that's going to continue to be issues that all of us deal with. You hope that some of this will have an impact on that, but again, you know, time will tell.
How is Missouri defined full cost attendance? I mean, what is it, travel to and from home? What are the pieces in this
policy? There are federal guidelines that determine what those are, and some of that is, you know, travel to and from. Some of that has to do with gasoline money, you know, fuel if you have a vehicle. Some of that has to do with food outside of the normal meal plan and things like that. And so for us, we'll follow the same format that any other school, because they're federally – I just don't have them right off the top of my head exactly what those are. They tell you this is what you can apply those things towards and what determines this number.
Federal guidelines, you're saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, Mike, on top of the room and board tuition, it's $3,000. That would be a yearly payout for the year?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Generally?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. So with our kids at Mizzou, anywhere else, they get their scholarship checks per month. And so in our offices, like upstairs where my offices are, pretty much every month, it's eight times a year, our student-athletes come to collect their scholarship checks. And so this would just be something that would be added to their normal scholarship check. But they actually get that, you know. So they come by, and there's actual a physical deal that they have to come by and they have to sign for, and that happens all over the country. But you know, to me, I'm used to seeing it because they always come through my office area when I see them every month.
I'm sorry if I missed this in the earlier answer. But
sure.
Will Mizzou provide multi-year scholarships?
You know, we'll be consistent with what everybody else is doing in the league. So the answer to your question is yes. But you will just be consistent. And this in itself indicated the reasons why you can't withdraw. But on the opposite side of that, we'll be consistent with what other people are doing too.
Could Mike, one of the other things that was discussed was the athlete safety and
yes.
Concussion. The Big 12 represented one or more comprehensive concussion guidelines, yeah. And that was rejected in favor of the SEC option. What were they asking for, and why was that?
You know, I was actually in that discussion, which went on for quite a while. I was kind of dumbfounded, frankly, to see how anybody could be sitting here trying to argue against why we wouldn't try to implement something that could be able to take a look at benefits for our student athletes. Let's say, for a concussive standpoint, from a student athlete. A health and wellness standpoint. So as I was listening to that discussion, I think what I was taken away from that was what the argument was, well, this hasn't gone far enough. There is more that we should be doing. Well, yes, but we better get something started right away. So versus the argument was, well, we shouldn't do this until we have it perfect. I think most people, you know, most logical thinkers in that room said, well, shoot, we ought to just get this started, and then we'll continue to improve it as it goes along. So my take on that argument was, it's not perfect. We ought to wait until we get it perfect to implement it. But I think the more level-headed folks in that room said, yeah, okay, we'll get it perfect. Hopefully, it's probably never going to be perfect, but let's get this thing started right away. And I'll tell you, Greg Sankey from our league, Greg in particular, but our league itself and a lot of other people, Brian Hainline from the NCAA and stuff, amazing the amount of work that they did to be able to get folks to coalesce around this. And my hats are off to a lot of folks, but in particular, Brian Hainline and Greg Sankey and a few other folks. They did a great job with it.
Mike, if you could clarify one of the things that I saw came out of this, said something about athletes being able to borrow against future earnings.
Yes.
Can you explain what that means? And on its face, that seems like kind of a dangerous thing.
Well, you currently, right now, student athletes can be able to get an insurance policy on themselves to be able to guard against injuries based upon future professional sport earnings. And so Shane Ray was able to get an insurance policy on himself, or others. Jace Long, a golfer for us, was able to do that. But you have to go through a process that they have to apply for this, and then there's an independent group that tells you, Gabe, whether you're going to be – we project you to be a draft choice or not. No offense. You know, everybody and their brother might want to take out a loan, but you got to qualify for that in a number of different ways. And so what this allows folks to be able to do is, those insurance policies are not very cheap. Right, they're pretty expensive. William Moore, you know, that's an expensive number. Shane Ray, that's an expensive number. Others, it can be. It just depends on where these independent groups determine your draft status could be and what your earning value could be. And so for many student athletes, that can be a very costly type of deal, that from a family standpoint, can I really afford to spend $15,000 for a one-year insurance policy? What this is going to do is allow them to be able to take out a loan and to be able to pay that back. But it's all going to be based upon the fact that, what are they projected as? And your hope is that when they take out those loans, that, you know, those projections are pretty accurate. They'll have the capabilities to be able to pay that back.
Do you have any sort of idea of where the extra $1 million and possibly more a year is going to come from?
For us at Mizzou, we would project that. First of all, I'm pretty confident, Dave, we're going to see some growth with regards to our ticket revenue. We're confident in that. We're confident in our Tiger Scholarship Fund, our annual giving. And we're also working very hard on Doug Gillen and our team are working hard as far as our review and continued enhancement for our multimedia rights package. Those three areas are show pretty good opportunities for growth signs. But in addition to that, certainly the introduction of the SEC network, while that has benefited our department this year, we're going to see, I think, those numbers grow in the next couple of years. So where that number will come from is probably going to come from four primary areas, and that would be, we're going to anticipate and we should see growth as far as ticket revenue for football. We're going to see growth, and we should see growth relative to our annual giving. We should see growth, and we hope to, with regards to review and revision of our multimedia rights deal. And then finally, we know we'll see growth with regards to the SEC network revenue and our television and bowl revenue that comes from the SEC. Those would be the four areas.
So you're not anticipating having to cut sports or anything?
No. No, we are not.
Department money, right?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you get a quick time check just so you're aware? It's 3:05 now.
Hang on for a second, real quick. Joe was calling.
Outside of Power Five conferences, how common is going to be for schools to opt in?
I think that this is, I don't know what you would term this. You guys would get this better. I mean, like those hallway conversations, you know, that we're all going to have. So it's not hard and fast data, but what I was hearing from, and I know most of our people at our level, I would suggest that the majority of those schools that are not part of the five conferences are going to do what they can to be able to provide full cost of attendance. May not be for every single sport, but they're going to try to do that for several sports, which will incorporate, you know, male-female opportunities. But I would think that the majority of them are going to look at ways to be able to do that.
Thank
which I think is a good thing. But financially, you know, you got to find out, you know, how are you going to be able to fund that? Is that going to come from athletics revenue? Is that going to come from other university revenues? That we didn't get into that. But what I was hearing from most people outside of our five were they're going to try to do what they could to be able to incorporate that, at least for a couple of sports, balancing that out with men and male-female opportunities. But they were going to do everything they could to try to do that, which I think is a good thing.
You talked about, this is more of a question from a fan standpoint.
Yes.
You talked about you expect ticket revenue. Does that mean ticket price increases? How would fans be affected by this additional money?
No. Okay, that's a good question. We haven't determined our season ticket prices yet for next year. You may recall that we're going to have one of our home football games next year will be in Kansas City. So we'll have six home games that'll be here. I know Doug Gillen, I'm working with Doug and our team, is we'll get our ticket prices, but we don't anticipate an increase in our season ticket prices. Our push forward on the season ticket price. Our push forward really is going to be able to really shoot for a higher number of season tickets, you know, be able to expand that base, and that's where we hope to be able to see the increased revenue come from.
Some of the sour grapes are already coming out about the rich getting richer, and here we are, the non-Power Five. How do you soothe the ruffled feathers?
It's going to be tough. I mentioned this when we got started, this One Voice initiative. It's what it's called, and I've been part of that now for about a year and a half. Myself, a guy named Morgan Burke, who's at Purdue, Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame, Jim Phillips at Northwestern. I could tell you all these people. Peg Bradley-Dapas at Denver, on and on. Is to try to make sure that all 351 of us are talking, are communicating, are understanding what we're trying to do. Because you're right, there you can't get away from the fact that five conferences are financially showing a higher trajectory than not only the other five conferences in the FBS, but the other 22 conferences beyond that. And so how can we make sure that we're getting together, recognizing that, and making sure that we're making decisions for the benefit of all of Division I athletics and not just for the benefit of these five? And to me, we don't have an answer to that right now. You know, we got together. It was Friday night again. I've done this before. I've been part of this a couple of times. I think it's always healthy discussion. But I think the more that we can make sure folks are in the room, regardless of what those decisions are, that hopefully we can work together to be able to kind of smooth that out. But right now, you're right, that's a big challenge for us. And that's something that's going to take time to continue to work toward.